brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hello, this is good old boy Mike, and this is Sippin' Time here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Today we're recording at Craft Brewed, and joining me for this segment today is good old boy Ryan.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this.
We're going to have a great time today. This segment, we're actually going to be tasting gin. Gin and more gin, one of my favorite topics.
Really talking about the alcohol or the girl?
Well, you know, no, just the alcohol. So if you haven't checked up on our sips ratings today, I'm going to go through those real quick with you. Our sips rating are, number one, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Bring water.
Number two, nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Number three is, interesting. What was that again?
Interesting.
Number four is, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
And number five is, our all-time favorite is, oh my, I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh my goodness!
Yes!
So those are our sips ratings here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. And today we're tasting some gin to share with our listeners today. We have three gins that we're going to talk about. We have Uncle Val's from Sonoma, California. We have Orr from Oregon. We're still in dispute about that, right?
Yes, we are. I think the company is based out of California, but I think they actually make the gin in Oregon.
I'll have what she's having.
And let's see, there's Corsair Gin, which is actually distilled in Nashville, Tennessee, which is where Craft Brewed is at as well.
That is correct. We like supporting the local guys, for sure.
Yeah, we've had some of the Corsair products, mainly their whiskeys, and this is the first time we've actually tasted their gin here on the show. And we're also going to be talking about Death Door's gin, and it's from Wisconsin.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is
excellent.
Correct.
So we've had a chance to taste these gins, and we're going to chat about each one of these and share our tasting notes as well as rate each one of these. So first up is going to be Uncle Val's. So this is a very interesting gin for sure. You know, I think that one of the things that I definitely want to share with everybody was, what is the difference between gin and vodka?
Gin and vodka are actually very similar to each other. They're basically part of the same family. The difference is that gin is usually infused with certain botanicals, either juniper as the main ingredient. It can also be cucumbers, flowers. It really depends on the producer. You can get basically anything you want put in gin.
So is it basically just a some type of vodka that's basically infused with some herb of some kind? Is that basically it?
That is correct. It usually starts out as a neutral grain spirit of some sort. With vodka, you can make it out of any type of grain. Same thing with this.
Or potatoes,
yeah. Definitely.
Any starch. Anything that basically produces sugar, right?
Correct.
Right.
Even beets, I think, for some vodkas.
So, well, and you know, so I've certainly gone through a lot of gins, you know, over time, and I think most people tend to, they have like entry-level gins, and I think a lot of people really think that gin is usually very dry. And I think that's just because a lot of very popular brands, especially English-style gin, mm-hmm. is usually very dry.
Correct.
You know, on the tongue, and they tend to, they don't have a effervescence their floral component or any nose about them at all. And that's the reason why I think a lot of people tend to use them as a mixer more than anything else and not drinking them neat, especially as we're having them here today, which is neat. And really, the gin just gets lost. I mean, you might as well just pour the vodka, you know, and
exactly.
call it even, you know, at the end of the day, because there really isn't a whole lot to, you know, most what I consider English-style dry gins.
I'm so glad you brought that up because there's so many styles of gin that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. Some gins, like you said, are the London dry gins. You've also got barrel-aged gins called Old Tom recipes, but you also have Genevieve, which is a little bit different style in itself. It really depends on the producer, too, and what kind of botanicals they're putting in it to define what the flavor profile is going to be. But I agree with you that sometimes the flavor does get lost, and more mainstream gins produced one type of flavor, and that is that juniper pine type tasting note.
Yep, and that's exactly right. And I tend to, you know, focus on, you know, that type of botanical or floral as kind of the underlying, you know, component for a lot of, you know, gins that are very popular in the market, like Tanqueray.
Correct.
Is usually very floral. But I usually think of it as, you know, those are the two botanicals you think of most of the time, or juniper and pine. I think that's, you know, certainly a great way to think about that.
Definitely. Uncle Val's gin is quite unique because it actually has a lot of lemon and cucumber notes to it. It definitely smells, to me, of lemons and sage. Definitely get the cucumber on the nose, too. I don't know about you. I think we were discussing earlier. I think you've got your own opinion as well.
We do. Definitely about that. So Uncle Val's is definitely one of the more unique, you know, gins that, you know, I've had. So what's in this, Ryan?
Uncle Val's, first off, is 90 proof, which is a good thing if you ask me.
So it's a little bit higher than probably your average gins?
That is correct.
Hmm. Most of them are swinging at 80 or...
Correct.
Okay.
This one features juniper, cucumber, lemon, sage, and lavender. I really get the lavender and the cucumber.
That's like a really short list in the world of gins for me, anyway.
That's what I kind of like about it, especially with the Uncle Val's and the Death's Door, which we will discuss later. Keeping it simple is actually quite a good thing. There's a lot of gins out there that boast that we've got X number of botanicals in the gin, and you know, sometimes you can get covered up, and sometimes it gets to be too much, and you kind of lose sight of what the purpose of the gin is.
Yeah, or by the time you've dumped, you know, some mixer in it, you know, basically a lot of that is gone and washed anyway, you know, and so...
Who cares?
Right. And, you know, so I think that's, you know, something that most people, very rarely have I encountered a lot of people that will drink, you know, gin, you know, neat or straight up even. They're usually combining it with something, you know, any type of mixer. And I think they're missing, you know, the experience, especially of the distiller, you know, by doing it. So... I mean, if I had to, you know, come up with a gin training schedule, a first here on Subsides and Smokes, you know, it really sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Is, you know, have one like you would normally have it.
Sure.
Then have one neat. Then have one, you know, like you would normally have it. And then have another that is straight up. And compare, you know, which way you like it. I mean, don't be a habitual, you know, gin drinker and go, I always have my gin one way and one way only.
Yep.
And I think I just think that you are missing the opportunity that a lot of the distillers are bringing to the table with, you know, a lot of these, and especially really enjoying, you know, a lot of the floral qualities of a lot of gins that are currently in, especially in a lot of small batches.
I feel like craft brewed definitely emphasizes education and definitely wants to show people that there's other things in the world besides those mainstream gins that you buy in a 1.75 liter container that cost, you know, very little amount of money. You can get great gins, artisanal gins, organic gins. You can get so many different styles of gins that are in that $20 to $30, $40 range that aren't out of reach for anyone's pocket. So you can get a lot of different unique expressions that, like you said, definitely showcases the master distiller's passion and true love and what they really desire this product to be.
Hmm. So let's compare our tasting notes around Uncle Val's. So here are my tasting notes for Uncle Val's.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Oh, you've been waiting for this for a while. So, so we did open a fresh bottle of this, and I will say that I actually tasted it, you know, right out of, you know, the bottle, and then I let it breathe for a bit, and I've had a little bit more. So My tasting notes were I thought it was very heavy on honeysuckle, a little bit of pepper on it.
Yes.
And I thought dandelion was probably the flower that I would have picked, you know, on top of all of these. Really, really great gin. I would come back to this. There is no way that I would ever have this and pour like tonic or anything else over this. I might have a little bit of ice with it. But, you know, my sips rating for this is actually going to be 4. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves.
Definitely.
Please pour me another. So what did you think of Uncle Val's?
I get lemon warheads right off the bat with with the nose. I definitely get some sage as well. That really comes into play. I definitely get some licorice or anise flavors as well. I think because it's been distilled quite a few times, it also is very... I hate the word smooth. I don't like... Smooth to me means lazy. I like to maybe describe things as mellow, and this is actually quite easy to sip neat or at room temperature, at least for me anyway.
Mm. Well, it's definitely working for me today. So what's your sips rating for Uncle Val's?
I'm definitely going to have to give this a 4. The only problem that I have with it is that is...
Let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Pour me another. So we're going to have to get somebody to pour me another always for this.
Definitely. The only drawback I see about it is that it is $39.99. So it is a little bit more expensive, but when you crack it open and taste it for yourself, you definitely see why.
I've definitely had some small batch gins that were even double that, you know, may have had like 20, you know,
sure,
herbs in it. And I really, I love the simplicity of the ingredients and the quality of the distiller, you know,
exactly.
That's going on here definitely comes through. So please do me a favor if you happen to pick up Uncle Val's, take the Sips As and Smokes, you know, training regimen, have one your way, have one my way, have one, you know, a different way, have it, you know, and really, you know, pay attention to how this kind of, you know, enjoy the experience a lot more than that. All right. So next up is going to be Corsair's gin. Corsair makes a lot of innovative products. I really like the fact that they are not afraid to play around with a lot of diehard, you know, recipes. And definitely on the whiskey line, we've really gone, you know, quite through. I would definitely say both Rasputin and the quinoa whiskeys are definitely out there, but. This is the first time I've had their gin, and I've had a lot of people that have said, have you tried the gin yet? Have you tried the gin? Have you tried the gin? And today we're trying the gin, so I'm glad that we get to talk about it finally. So this is actually made in Nashville, Tennessee.
That is correct, and like I said before, we are very happy to represent and support local products as much as possible.
And I think that's what's really great is, you know, that the element of distilling has actually caught on. A lot of the same movement about eating locally, you know, brewing locally, and now distilling locally, and especially in small batches, I think you have a lot more control over the quality, and I think that you don't have to worry about, you know, basically just doing it to make bank, you know, to make money
or please shareholders.
Yeah, definitely. And I know the Corsair you know, folks are really very focused on making sure that they're not just, I don't want to call it selling out, but I think that they're appealing to a certain market segment that has just gone unnoticed by a lot of distillers. And I'm really very happy that we've had their products, and I'm very happy we got to try Corsair Gin today. So my tasting notes, once again, he's grinning. Rather, you know, he just can't wait for this moment about the Corsair Gin. So... listen, on the nose, I have to say that it didn't have probably the best nose that I've really enjoyed with a gin. In fact, I actually wrote down it actually smelled like airplane glue. So
that's an interesting assessment.
You know, I never thought that I would use an industrial product, you know, to describe, you know, any beverage of any kind. But it definitely has that very alcohol, you know, it really kind of creeps back in your sinuses, you know, really quick and hard. But I will say that it actually didn't taste anything like it smelled. And I really found the taste of it to be actually quite pleasant. In fact, I actually wrote that it was a really great sweet finish, which is unusual for a gin. Mm-hmm. And so this is definitely something I would come back to as well. And so my rating, my SIPs rating for Corsair's gin is going to be 3. Interesting. What was that again?
Interesting.
So what did you think of Corsair's gin, Ryan?
To me, when you put Uncle Val's gin and Corsair gin back to back, I think Uncle Val's is a little bit more floral. I think it has a little bit more flavor on the nose, if that makes sense. Corsair gin, to me, the flavor, it has a lot of peppermint, spearmint. It also has a very clean feeling to it. It starts and it ends, and it leaves a quite refreshing flavor on the finish as well. I agree with you that
I like that. I like the word cleansing. I think would be, you know, now I've tasted it again, you know, that I like, that would be a good word.
Corsair gin to me is probably the total package because, one, you can buy local. For two, it's in the $20 range. For three, they actually make several different styles. They make barrel-aged gin, they make a genevieve, and they also make just their straight gin. We're just happening to taste the regular gin today. This one, for your information, is 88 proof, or 44%. So it's a little, not much, a little bit less alcoholic than the Uncle Val's.
Still, both really great products. So what's your SIPs rating for Corsair?
Because of the price means everything to me. Why I don't give Uncle Val's a 5 is because of the price. I give it a 4 because I think it costs too much. I will give Corsair Gin a 3 because of the price, because it's affordable. But also,
interesting. What was that again?
I mean, this is such a versatile gin. You can drink it straight. It goes into any mixer. I just love the label. I mean, if you read it, it says Gin Head Style American Gin. This isn't your typical London Dry. This isn't your typical Old Tom. This isn't your typical gin. This is an American style gin. I don't know if that's actually clearly defined or not, but with it. Yeah,
I applaud them for basically defining the style in the middle of making it. So, you know, why chase a ghost of a couple hundred years when you have the ability of defining your own? All right. So the last gin that we had to talk about today is Death's Door from Wisconsin. So what is in this particular gin?
Death's Door is very interesting because it only really has 5 ingredients. It's got...
And that's tough to come up with a lot of flavor with just, you know, a fewer ingredients, definitely.
Exactly. Especially when you're sourcing them from very local producers within Wisconsin. All of these ingredients are organic. It's got malted barley. It has...
It has all kinds of goodness in it. How about dairy cows?
Some cheese, too.
Probably. Well, certainly lots of great things, you know, going into Death's Door. And, you know, this is a really great gin as well, and it would definitely put it right in line with everything else we have here. You know, I would definitely tell you to check this out. This isn't something we had available to taste today, but we definitely did want to talk about it because I think that it follows in the same style of the gins that we have talked about here as well. So I know that you have tasted Death's Door. What are some of the tasting qualities about Death's Door that you remember?
It's got quite a bit of orange flavor to it instead of lemons. It also has a creaminess to it that you don't necessarily see from a lot of...
I don't think I would ever use the word creamy and gin together.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird, but that's at least what I get. The juniper is definitely there. It's actually quite spicy, too. It has a pepper note. I don't know if you've ever looked at their stills or not on the online, but
We looked at them together, and I just thought that it looked like this engineering marvel. I mean, the number of distillation and vapor traps that were basically on this. I mean, there were like 10. These were like 10 stacks. It was just amazing, you know. Somebody just doesn't sit down and go. I mean, this is not stuff you buy out of a catalog.
No, it's definitely not. This is probably a one-off.
Absolutely, still, I've never seen any kind of still like this ever.
For those of you that may not know, you have a couple of different ways you can distill things, and one of them it would be alembic pot stills, or you can have continuous distillation, and that's what this is doing. So it is, instead of it being distilled, you know, once or twice or three times,
a batch, yeah,
correct,
right?
It will be distilled infinitely, basically.
And I think that allows the ability of controlling quality, mm-hmm, in a different way than you do in a batch form, and especially. I mean, that's one of the things that I like, especially about Corsair, is they actually mark the batches. They're a batch distiller, as opposed to Vestor is a continuous still, right?
They may actually continuously
distill.
Oh,
really?
Too,
yeah,
yes.
Corsair as well. Huh, mm-hmm. I thought they did batch. Anyway, all right. So what else about Vestor, other than it being orange and junipers? And
well, the ingredients are wheat, malted barley. You've also got juniper and coriander and fennel.
Huh.
So the coriander and fennel,
I don't
really
think I'd ever put the word fennel and gin together, so that's different.
Yes, it is. And you definitely get a softer, like I said, creamier type mouthfeel, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
So what would be your sips rating for Death Store gin then?
Because it's all organic and because they use ingredients coming from locally sourced areas, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money. It has a great package. The flavor is great. I definitely give it a 4.
Oh, wow. Let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Pour me another. Well, I think that basically hits the theme of this show, which is, hey, I think we need to pour some more gin for the rest of this tasting. All right, so there you have it for Uncle Val's gin, Corsair gin, and Death Door's gin. And, you know, I think that all of these, at least I know two of these distillers, actually make vodkas as well as other distilled products. And, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to, you know, talk about those, you know, in some future shows. So
definitely. I do know that the Death Door gin is actually their Death Door vodka as well. They're just starting to infuse things with that base to make the gin. So that's correct.
Well, we've had another great time here at Craft Brewed. If you're ever here in Nashville, and definitely want to check out their new liquor store side of the store. It's definitely you'll find Ryan ably behind the desk, you know, each and every day. And we hope you'll definitely check out these products or other gins that might be your fancy as well. For now, I'm going to ask you to keep on sicking. This is sicking. Keep on sicking. Can you keep on sicking, Ryan?
I think I can keep on doing something.
How about you keep on sipping? This is good old boy Mike, and
thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And good old boy Ryan, and we're going to ask you to join us on another segment for Sip Senses. Thanks.
Thank you.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.